Here to talk more about it is totally, definitely not an impersonator, but the actual Ron Johnson. Welcome to the show, Senator.
Kristen, it's great to be here. This is what people in Wisconsin want to know. You know, what are the injuries that people have gotten when they go out and get their vaccine? And I've heard numerous things. You know, look no further than your own governor. If you want to say, what does a vaccine injured person look like? Well, he's addicted to ice cream and he looks like a scarecrow. So, I mean, those are some dead giveaways.
We've unlocked Oatlander.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Welcome to the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour.
You did it.
Nailed it.
Well done.
I feel like I've gotten it right pretty regularly.
You've been on kind of a roll.
Okay.
I think we've been doing it. Have we been doing this a month now?
Yeah.
That's what we've been calling it, around that?
Yeah, sure.
Have you been here for 4 Wednesdays since we started that? Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Are you just placating me?
Yep.
Okay. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, we've made it to the fun time. The laugh time.
The happy hour.
Time of your lifetime. And I'm really excited about this. Like, this was my TV watching kid self trying to reach back and think about which episodes really made me think. Because I didn't realize that this started, like, back in the 50s. So basically, I came across this. I think it was originally in Mel magazine. And I think there's maybe now even a documentary about it, but and it was specifically told this. It was called A Very Special Episode, and it was specifically sitcoms, which obviously are usually very funny.
Laugh tracks.
But every once in a while, they would use the show as an opportunity to take on a very serious topic.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't so funny.
No.
Which packed a bigger punch.
Yeah.
And so the article I was reading is talking about, and they interview different people on certain episodes that really changed, depending on where you were in your life when you saw it, like, really changed how you saw the world or impacted you in certain ways. And so I would love to open it up to both of you, but also anyone who has a memory of a show and a specific episode that really left a mark on you.
And it stuck with you.
Like, the one for me, and I teed this up before, and I don't know if it really changed anything I feel about drugs, but it was when Jesse Spano, played by Elizabeth Berkley, who, yes, I have been told in my life that I look like. that was in one of my first acting classes in L.A. One of our exercises was having to, like, with our classmates, like, give them a pitch of, like, how would you pitch this person to a casting director? So it's like, oh, it's like Tom Cruise meets Tom Hanks or something like that.
Okay.
So the two that I got, I remind you that I was like 18 at the time. So I was like the baby in the class. But the one that I actually liked better was if Wesley and Buttercup had a baby from Princess Bride.
So what would happen if they got married
and had a baby? And then the other one was Elizabeth Berkley's younger, prettier, smarter little sister, which feels like a slight towards Elizabeth Berkley.
Elizabeth Berkley's sister who didn't get on the pole.
But was it when Jesse Spano, the overachieving type A, straight A student who was trying to get into Stanford, became addicted to caffeine pills.
I have that clip.
Yeah, it's 6:30. Come on, we gotta go. Let's go.
Where are we going?
Where are we going? You're singing tonight.
Singing?
Yeah.
Tonight?
Come on.
Wait, what am I gonna wear?
Jesse, remember? Lisa's bringing your costume.
Right, I gotta wash my hair.
No, there's no time.
No time! There's never any time! I don't have time to study! I'll never get into Stanford! I'll let everyone down! I'm so
Jesse, hey, just calm down. It's okay.
You're right.
It's okay.
Everything will be okay. Yeah. I just need one of these.
Pills? You mean you really are taking drugs?
I need them.
Jesse, give me those.
I need them, Zach. I have to sing.
Jesse, you can't sing tonight.
Yes, I can. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
Jesse.
I mean, are we surprised that she didn't go on to have like an epic Academy Award winning acting
career? This is really mean, but her acting style stayed the same for all that time. It's amazing.
You mean the sex scene in
Showgirls?
It wasn't convincing?
I just feel like her acting in that scene is kind of what she did.
Yeah. But, you know, watching that as a kid, I think it made its impact at the time.
Oh, I bet.
I can listen to it now and it's a little over the top. Yeah. But I was, for me, I feel like the ones that stick out are whenever the show's on TGIF. So it's like Boys Meets World, Step by Step, Family Matters. Like those are the ones that I feel like always every once in a while would have a really serious episode. Mm-hmm. There was one for Boy Meets World, which, by the way, Ben Savage running for Congress.
Oh, no kidding.
He's running for Adam Schiff's seat. That was announced yesterday, I think.
Fred Savage. Oh.
Yeah. But they had an episode where Sean joined a cult. That was supposed to be a very special episode as far as, like, I guess, joining. I don't know how many kids were exposed to potentially falling prey to a cult, but that was one. Jane, do you have one that you feel like stuck out to you?
There are a couple. I certainly remember the Maude episode where she got an abortion.
So what was the premise of Maude? Because I feel like this is before. I've never seen that show.
Married couple, married a long time. She was obviously considerably older, and it was a surprise, as I remember it. And that was the first time, I think, the word had ever been mentioned on television.
Oh, wow.
Unless it was All My Children, Erica, because she had an abortion too. And soap operas did more of those issues.
Man, they had a lot of content to fill.
Yes, they did.
Storylines you get through.
And Maude was played by Bea Arthur.
Yep.
Oh.
Pre-Golden Girls. Oh, yeah. Pre-Golden Girls.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's a good one.
And then MASH, too.
Yeah, but someone already said MASH... Season 3, episode 24, Absentia? Did I say it right?
Absentia?
Absentia?
Absentia.
Thank you. We would love to hear from you if there's one that sticks out, 844-967-2789, a sitcom that left its impression on you. An episode of a sitcom, not just the show in its entirety, but when they departed from their usual tone and took on a serious topic.
Oh, yeah.
Another big one that came up in that article was Designing Women.
See, that's another show that predated me that I don't remember watching.
Which you would love.
Really?
You would love it. Yeah. Yes.
It's an amazing show.
You would absolutely love it. And again, before Nancy Reagan's good friend Rock Hudson got AIDS, the Reagan administration didn't really do much of anything.
He didn't say the word AIDS until 1986.
Wow. But Designing Women... And they did this on more than one occasion. They took it pretty head on. Take a listen to this.
But if these boys hadn't been doing what they do, they wouldn't be getting what's coming to them now.
Imogene, gays aren't the only ones getting it.
No, but they're the ones who started it.
Actually, nobody knows how it got started. Gays are just one of the first groups it showed up in.
Yes, and for a good reason. You reap what you sow, and you boys brought this on yourselves. As far as I'm concerned, this disease has one thing going for it. It's killing all the right people.
Imogene, I'm terribly sorry. I'm going to have to ask you to move your car.
Why?
Because you're leaving.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the only thing worse than all these people who never had any morals before AIDS are all you holier-than-thou types who think you're exempt from getting it.
Well, for your information, I am exempt. I haven't lived like these people, and I don't care what you say, Julia Sugarbaker. I believe this is God's punishment for what they've done.
Oh, yeah? Then how come lesbians get it less?
That is not for me to say. I just know that these people are getting what they deserve.
Imogene, get serious. Who do you think you're talking to? I've known you for 27 years, and all I can say is, if God was giving out sexually transmitted diseases to people as a punishment for sinning, then you would be at the free clinic all the time. And so would the rest of us.
Yeah, you would love that show. They took on some huge issues.
They did.
And those four, and the whole cast. So good. So good.
Yeah.
Annie Potts, Dixie Carter, Jean Smart, and Delta Burke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jean Smart in an early role for her.
Yeah. Yeah. I have one. We didn't have a clip, but I have one. I remember watching it as a kid. And it, like, so the show, do you remember the show Give Me a Break with Nell Carter, Jane?
I do.
There was an episode, season four, called Baby of the Family, where as part of a performance, little Joey Lawrence dresses up in blackface, not knowing that it is offensive, and sings Al Jolson to a congregation of mostly black churchgoers.
Oh, dear.
And I remember watching that and watching him perform and not understanding, because I was a little kid,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
And seeing him in blackface and people pulling back in horror, I'm like, what's going on? And they had to explain to him. So explaining to him explained it to me.
Mm.
And I was probably seven. So wow. Like at seven, like on network television, primetime television, I learned about the horrors of minstrel shows and blackface and racism. And that was a huge thing. Like I was trying to like look at all these shows, but I was older. I'm like, okay, cool. But like that stuck.
That's interesting.
Very special episode.
I feel like there was a fair amount on Roseanne. Did either of you watch Roseanne?
Absolutely. Until like the last season.
Yeah. Like I feel like that was one of those shows that for some reason my mom didn't want me to watch. So I'd like sit in the basement and watch it. So, I don't know. I don't know why she was offended. I mean, I think I would understand why she's offended by Roseanne now. But at the time, it was, I mean, when you watched, that was a great show.
It was a subversive show because it was the first time you really saw a lower class family not being like, we're doing our best. It's
and also like overweight, like, you know, two big, like larger people as the two main characters. And I remember, we're going to keep talking about this when we come back, but I remember one episode because like her and her sister, Jackie, they had an abusive father.
Yep.
So I remember every once in a while, like there was one episode where Roseanne hit DJ because she had grown up saying that I'm never going to hit my kids because the way we got hit.
Yeah.
And if she got mad and hit at him, like that episode's always stuck out to me. All right. Well, we are still taking, if you have a memory of this, of a show that stuck out to you, we'd love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. 844-96.
Party.
We'll be right back.
I pulled up to the house about 7 or 8 and I yelled to the cabbie, "Your home, smell you later." Looked at my kingdom, I was finally there to sit on my throne as the Prince of Bel Air.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and he is Greg Bach. And we are talking about episodes of sitcoms that we remember that tackled a tough topic.
Yeah.
And left a lasting impression.
You two are probably both too young to remember the...
Bless your heart.
The show Soap.
Oh, no, I remember that show.
Do you remember? So you remember Soap?
Yep.
With Billy Crystal, who was very, very, very young.
First openly gay character, I think, on...
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. And they covered a lot of stuff, too. Mm-hmm. They covered a lot of really silly things, because Bert believed he could make himself invisible, which was brilliant. but having a gay character, they did all kinds of really groundbreaking at the time stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting, because I feel like these... And the article kind of touches on this, but it goes... in both directions. Like you can tell, I think, because obviously the entertainment has always had way more, a way higher percentage of gay people working in entertainment than the general population. I think it's always leaned more left and progressive on different topics of the day because of just the artists and et cetera, et cetera. Not all, but some. But then there's also waves of using this to talk about more conservative issues like Nancy Reagan and Just Say No and the DARE program. And
she made she made lots of appearances.
Because she was on Different Strokes.
Yep. I remember that.
Was she on more shows than that?
I think she might have popped up on a couple more.
I remember that episode. It was very special.
So did she play herself?
Yeah. She shows up to the Drummond house out of nowhere and be like, hey, you guys want to talk about not doing blow in the 80s? Sure. Cool. Sounds great. There is a very special episode that dealt with child molestation on Different Strokes.
Really?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I've watched a lot of very special episodes.
Full House had one about child abuse where where one of Stephanie's like playmates, friend, guy, boyfriend, like boys. They were young kids. And she at first is like keeps his secret, I think, of like his parents hitting him.
There's one that dealt with disordered eating on Full House.
Oh, is that DJ, when DJ like faints because she's not eating
she's
anything?
She's not eating. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I remember that one.
The Fresh Prince episode where Will gets shot and Carlton brings a gun to the hospital. And Will Smith has this, hey, Hollywood, hire me episode. I mean, it's a great performance. It's a great, great, but that is a very special episode.
Is that different when they got arrested because they were suspected of stealing the car?
I believe so, yeah, yeah.
And then what's the other one where Will Smith, it's with like his dad walks out on
Oh,
him,
yeah, yeah.
Where he ends up crying.
Where Uncle Phil just takes, oh my God, I can't, oh my God. James Avery, RIP. But yeah, I mean, that's, and I would say this, we were talking about Roseanne, the revamped version, the Connors, still great. Tackling a lot, just got over like a 3-episode arc about unplanned pregnancy. Like they're still tackling these topics. Jackie mentions in an episode about being abused by one of her former boyfriends, which was a big
storyline. Yep.
So like it's a really good show. It's a really, the Connors is a really good show.
Is in John Goodman still on it?
Correct. Yeah,
he's the best.
Oh, he's so funny. He's so funny.
You got any other ones that stuck out to you, Jane?
Other than Designing Women, Maude. I mean, certainly All in the Family did that on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
Golden Girls. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we were talking about before. Oh, go on.
Just again, Norman Lear and most of Norman Lear's creations always had those episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... There was good
stuff.
Well,
it was interesting because I feel like that's ultimately, like there, it's interesting the difference between the shows that was kind of in the fabric of the show.
Designed to do that?
Yeah. Like Roseanne, I think kind of, there was more than this one.
Yeah.
Versus like Boy Meets World, usually kind of silly with some punctuated episodes that was a little bit more goofy. But, and I think like, Fresh Prince too. It was like more episodes than not were
lighthearted,
very situationally comedic.
Right, right.
But you think of it, that's setting the stage for then Black-ish, which I feel like Black-ish most episodes
so good.
Tackled a topic and was very funny in the way that they did it. But I feel like my parents learned more about race in like loving that show, and it just like talked about issues in a way that was very approachable for. But also relatable, so it had such a wide audience, and a white audience. Yeah. That it's like there's those shows that, in their purpose, use comedy to tackle some of these things, and then there was also sitcoms that every once in a while took the opportunity to get serious.
That second to last episode ever of Black-ish, I was sobbing the last 10 minutes of it. It was about Dre. Junior and Pops going away to a cabin to just be guys and connect. And they connected like Dre and Junior, actually all three of them connect in such a way that it's just like all these things come out of them. And I was just sobbing the entire time. It was so beautiful. I love that show.
I think I have to go back and watch that one.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
Yeah, you do.
All right. When we come back, are you ever jealous of your friends?
Never.
And then feel guilty about it?
Always.
What do you do with that feeling? We're going to talk about it. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to Ask Ghost Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. She's Jane Mednair. Greg Bach, I think Shane really tickled you today with the music.
Mean, Gin Blossoms, GB, Greg Bach, coincidence? I don't know.
This is a day when you should really watch the stream if you have an opportunity, because Greg has had some dance moves I have never seen before.
You can't get enough of this.
They're pretty spectacular.
Are you, when there is a dance floor, are you pretty aggressive in, of about getting on it?
No.
Really?
No, because y'all don't deserve this hotness.
He's a private dancer.
Yes, dancing for money. Do what you want me to do. Private dancer. That's one of my favorite comebacks when someone's like, hey, can you get that for me? I'm not your private dancer. That's one of my favorite comebacks.
Do you then end up going and getting it for them?
Yeah, usually. Good Midwestern boy.
That kind of surprises me that you don't like to dance on the dance floor.
It's a body image thing. It's a issues thing. It's self-esteem.
Is it? And so that's maybe a good segue a little bit. So do you feel envious of friends who dance like no one's watching?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we go to commercial now? I don't know.
No, I was just because the topic at hand is I saw this as far as the conversation about that feeling that pops up when you're jealous or envious of your friends and what to do with it. And I think it is exacerbated by social media.
Good word.
But also the distance that I feel like, at least for me, moving back to Wisconsin has created, moving as much as I've moved in general. Because I mean, I've lived in a lot of different places. I've made friends, and I wouldn't say lost friends, but grown
lost
apart.
Touch with or lost
yeah,
touch
like
with.
Grown apart from, but you can still see them on social media. And I think sometimes it's the how they're doing, if they're doing stuff without you, the last time they checked in and stuff like that. And I just think it's an interesting conversation as far as like what to do with that feeling. Because I think, especially when it's something trivial, like you're jealous of their job or their romantic relationship or their vacation and what you do with it.
Well, first of all, I would say this. Almost everything that people post on Facebook is a lie. Except for the people who like to share their hospital pictures when they're in for procedures, which I just don't understand. Here I am in my hospital bed with a drip. I want to share this with the world. Don't do that. But do people really put terrible things on there?
Oh, I think so.
I think people want to share the good stuff.
No,
at least when I was on Facebook, I would only post flattering pictures of myself. Didn't we all do that?
There are people out there that, I mean, I like to, I don't know. I mean, to go back to what you're saying, there are people out there who post not great stuff. And it gets to the point where you're like, are you okay? Like, are you doing this for attention? Are you okay? Do you need to talk to somebody?
But as far as my marriage is falling apart, my kids are, I hate my third child. People don't share that stuff.
Oh, I think you're.
They do.
You just said be friends with different people.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Because I saw, because I think there's now a type of, like there's a type of post of your vacation, your wedding, the things that are going well, an appreciation post. But there's also this other, and this is specific to social media, which I think is different than your core feeling of how you feel when you see those things. But as far as the intention behind posts, I think there's a lot of people who purely and genuinely feel like by sharing, maybe there's the connection when things are bad, of the connection of someone else relating to you. There's also, are you asking for attention? But I think especially more on, like, I think just this morning I was scrolling through Facebook and I saw someone who was very honest about what it's like to just get ready in the morning when you're depressed. And like the effort of being a mom and putting as much energy as you can to put your kids first and then get whatever else needs to get done. and like the energy left to even like put on makeup not being there and trying to either, I guess, elicit not sympathy, but maybe empathy for having an understanding that for some people, their capacity or their energy levels are not the same as yours to do what you may think is like very simple. I have that sometimes with ADHD. I saw something on social media. It's like, how can I explain to my friend that I'm just so busy today because I have to do my laundry and my dishes, but even that might not get done. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But like, that is sometimes the brain capacity of you look like, for me, like having to look at everything I need to do and like not even being able to explain it to other people of like what the overwhelm feels like. And so I think there is some things that now on social media, people certainly do share struggles, hardships in the attempt to connect.
And you're probably very right. And it is likely a generational issue because, again, my parents, well, and this was not good, but they didn't talk about anything bad.
No.
Ever. And that also has come down to me where I shy away from the spilling of guts. I will do it selectively, but I think there's too much sharing. I think there's oversharing.
TMI.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that. I mean, I don't disagree with that. I think you can find a happy medium between what both of you are saying as far as there's some people out there just looking for connection, saying, hey, I'm out here. Who else is? Who feels me? Who feels this? And then some people are just like, I want those clicks. I want those likes. I want those. Oh, you're doing great. You know, I need the affirmation outweighs the hurt or the pain or the thought. You're just looking for, I mean, some people just start looking for attention and that's, you know, whatever. That's what social media is there for.
But then on the flip side of that, from where of the, without getting into the intention of the person who's posting, but going back in, and it doesn't have to just be when you see your friend do something on social media. It can also be in real life.
Yeah.
But like, does that resonate? Like, are you ever jealous of your friends?
Yeah.
I mean, imagine it's comedy stuff. Like, how can you not be?
I mean, I suffer professional and personal jealousy at a high degree, but I also know that, you know, I know how to deal with it through coping mechanisms, through therapy, things of that nature.
Healthy coping mechanisms? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So do you have any advice?
Yeah. What's a healthy way to cope with jealousy?
Well, I'll talk professional jealousy. Let's talk about that. If I see a friend of mine doing really well in stand up, and I get upset about it or I get mad or whatever, and it's a jealousy factor, the first thing I have to say to myself is, first of all, you can't be mad at this person for doing well, for getting some semblance of success at whatever level it is. Why are you getting upset at them?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing, me, that's keeping you from having that level of success? Whether it's the, do you have the same amount of talent, same amount of drive, same amount of opportunity? Are you going out like the drive and the desire to do what they are doing? So it's like you have to ask yourself, am I really, I'm not mad at them. What I am is I'm mad at myself for not putting the work in to get where they're at, mm-hmm. especially when you are talking about comedians who you feel like you're on the same level, you know, the same show, same amount of time, same relative talent level. When I suffer professional jealousy, I always come back to, well, you're not putting the work into stand up as you are in other things. So you can be upset at yourself about it, but you can't be upset at this person. They didn't do anything wrong to you. And if you want to change it, then do something about it. That's where I go. And it's a very quick changeover for me now. It took me a long time to get there. But now when I see professional jealousy, professional, like, I'm like, no, yeah, they're putting the work in. Of course they're getting the opportunities. You're not doing that. So therefore, you have two choices. Maybe three. But yeah. So that's one way.
Yeah.
That's
Jane, what do you think?
I think you make a really good point, Greg, and jealousy is certainly wanting what others have, but as you pointed out, they worked for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like holding a grudge.
Yeah.
It's not good for you.
No.
It's not good for you.
Well, and it's also, because I certainly, career-wise, because I think whenever you work in something that is, I mean, I don't know, Janie, do you ever have it with like other women in radio?
Certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're really like, you're happy for them, but you're also like, why not me?
I've been working for a really long time. Yeah, certainly. But again, sometimes it's circumstances, sometimes it's a better fit, sometimes, ultimately, you have to come back and look at yourself.
Mm-hmm. Because I've always thought of it, like, if you're jealous of one aspect, you have to take the whole piece of, like, people that you would actually, instead of trading places in one way, it's like, oh, well, this friend gets to go on vacation. Like, I was thinking, stick with me. I was scrolling on last night, and I was like, maybe I made different choices. I could have led a different life. I was watching like a clip from a podcast interview where the two women who host the podcast were talking to a woman who has an OnlyFans account, and they were asking her how much she makes a month. And at first she was making $150,000 a month. And then she amped up her TikTok. Now she makes $350,000 a month. And it's like, but then you have to be an OnlyFans girl. Right. And so I say this as a fan of like the exercise of, if you write down all of the good things and all of the bad things and you throw it into a trash can, who's going to take who's going to take everything?
Right.
Like, if you're jealous of their vacation, you're jealous of their relationship, they're jealous of how much money they bring in, but their spouse is never home because they're obsessed with work and they're obsessed with money. So it's like being able to say, you can't just pick and choose the things that you're envious of. And there's some other trade-off that they're likely having. If they can afford to go on the really nice vacation, do they also hate their job?
Right.
Because they've chosen to do something where they can make a lot of money, but it's not very fulfilling. And so I think that's always the thing that when it pops up for me, like I had a friend who, similar overlap as far as like, she used to speak at conferences, she's written books, she's very high achiever. She kind of got in with a group of very high powered women. And I always wanted to be that. But simultaneously, I look at our lives now and there's like, I wouldn't trade places with her.
Yeah.
Entirely. You know?
No, I get that. Like, I get like that same, like, I get that feeling as I'm getting older and I'm seeing my friends getting into their jobs in their 15th and 20th year and more, and they're starting to look at retirement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got kids who are in high school and college, and you know, they've got the prototypical American life. Now, I never signed up for that. I'm happy where I'm at, but sometimes I'll get that twinge of like, I can't do that now. Mm-hmm. Like that's gone. Like, oh, that's like, what I want the barbecue on a Sunday, but no, I got to work on Sunday because I got a job on Sunday. You know what I mean? So yeah. But then I kind of snap back. I'm like, no, I think at the end of the day, I wouldn't be happy with that. I mean, the life I have right now, I love it as much as I can, as far as like mental health wise, but I'm very appreciative of what I've got.
Just real quickly, because we don't have a lot of time left. The last time I really felt a twinge of jealousy, I actually convinced her to help me get a job.
Wow.
Look at that. Oh my gosh. Look at that. Full circle,
look
baby.
Look at that. There,
and why don't
go.
We call it Friendvy? All right.
Friendvy. All right. We got to take a break. We're going to wrap up the show when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. They're wrapping up the show with Greg Bach on this Wednesday. Jane Madnair on the board. Me, Kristen Bry. This is a fun show today.
It was.
With no guests, just us three holding it down.
Oops, no guests.
Speaking of people coming to the Laughing Tap, I don't know what I did with that. I was going to say guests, but they're not really guests because they're headliners.
They're guests of the city. Yeah.
Who's the guest of Milwaukee's Laughing Tap? I don't know.
Wow.
It's the end of the show. We're struggling.
Okay.
Me.
This weekend at the Laughing Tap, and a guest of Milwaukee will be Mr. Ismail Lutfi. Lutfi.
That's his,
he is a comedian who has been on Late Night with someone. I can't remember the Late Night show, but he's also been on Comedy Central. Very, very funny. Three shows, one Friday, two Saturday. LaughingTap.com for tickets. Also, The Laughing Tap on all social media if you want to follow us and find out what's going on with us. Jane, I believe we have a clip.
I'm a Muslim. That hasn't been fun. I don't know if you've noticed. Last 16 years have been pretty stressful for us. I can't watch the news. Just the way they talk about us is so demeaning. The buzzwords they use are always talking about moderate Muslims. That's their go-to. They're always like, hey, I want to see one moderate Muslim. Show me one moderate Muslim denounce terror. I want to see what... It's like, screw you, dude. It's like, first of all, who came up with that term, moderate Muslim? What an objectifying label to give 1.5 billion people, you know? It's like, well, you got your moderate Muslims, your mild Muslims, your sweet and sour Muslims, your lemon pepper, your teriyaki. And also, we do denounce terror all the time, but nobody puts a camera on that. Nobody wants to see people be moderate. That's boring. You want to see people jump up and down to be crazy. It's the whole point of the news system is just to sensationalize everything. It makes me so mad. I just want to blow some stuff up, you know? I just want to kill. I just want to... I get so angry. Anybody else have that instinct in their blood? I don't know. I don't know what that is. Probably nothing to worry about. All right.
So, yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it.
Is this his first time?
His first time here, as far as I know. I mean, working with us, yes. I don't know if he's ever been to Milwaukee, but I'm...
You don't know if he's been a guest of Milwaukee in the past?
He maybe has been. who knows?
Who's to say?
There were so many other clips I wanted to pull, but he can get a little cussy, little...
Yeah, try to make Jane's job a little bit easier.
I only have so much time to add that censor beep.
Exactly. And so, yeah, LaughingTap.com for tickets. Hopefully, the winter storm coming tomorrow won't be too crazy, so yeah. People...
Hopefully by Friday night, Greg. I think the bigger issue is going to be Thursday night into Friday morning, and Friday morning might be a little messy.
Okay, yeah. Well, then maybe I'll just stay home for the rest of the weekend. That's a good idea. Thank you, Jane. I appreciate that.
Anytime.
yeah, but and also, just to let you know, in April, I will be performing at the Laughing Tap.
Oh!
I will be hosting for Hari Kondabolu, who's coming back.
He's coming back.
Five shows.
Wow.
So those tickets are also available at LaughingTap.com.
Is that a brand new set from where he is? Because I saw him the last time he was here.
Yep.
And I think that's also the night that I saw you.
Yes.
The first time I've seen you do stand up. And
was I good?
You were good.
Yeah.
Mike and I laughed a lot.
Yeah.
And is he working on an hour long special? So is this going to be a new, different set? Because that was like one of his first sets coming out of COVID,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yes, it was. He was working. He's releasing actually the week after. He comes to Milwaukee. He's releasing a new special on YouTube called Vacation Baby, which I did the weekend with him at the Tap, and he did anywhere between an hour and 10 to an hour and 35 of new material, working on it, workshopping it. And then when I worked with him in June of that year, he cut it down to pretty much the 60 minutes he was going to record. So what's left over from that? And new stuff, I'm sure it'll probably be mostly new material.
Okay.
He writes like a monster. He doesn't stop writing. He's always writing. And between what I saw in Milwaukee and Chicago and then in Oklahoma last November or October, he had like over 2 hours of material that I had never heard.
Wow.
And so he's just...
What does that look like? I mean, you're friends with him, and I know everyone's process is different. Is it just like you just get up and you write?
He just gets
like,
up. He's
whatever's on your brain, and you just write, and then you're like, oh, this is funny.
Yep.
play with this a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, every comedian approaches it differently, and like the most traditional ones will sit down at like a coffee shop or at their home, write down in notebooks and you know their jokes from like the beginnings, try them out, rewrite them, blah blah. I don't do that. That's not how my brain operates. I have a dumb broken brain, so I have to write premises down, and I have to write tags down, and then I just have to go on stage and say them. Because writing them down for me does nothing, because then I'm just going to sit there and rewrite, and it's never going to be set on stage. Where if I could just have a premise, some ideas, I can say them, go from there, and just write a piece.
So wait, you don't write the punchline?
No.
So you come up with a punchline as you're talking about it?
Yes and no.
Okay.
You have a goal in mind?
Yeah, brevity. I come up with the premise. I'll come up with a certain kind of punchline, but then some tags. So yeah, it's premise, punchline, and a couple tags. And then finding the words within there. But I don't write it out word for word for word. Like there are some writers like a Jerry Seinfeld, or for better or for worse, Louis C.K. They write out like
joke.
There is no fat on any of their jokes. Every word has been trimmed down to the bare bones to find exactly what they need to get. I'm not like that. I'm like, woohoo, let's do jokes. So
interesting. All right, when is that going to be? April?
Yes, I think the third week of April. I think it's 13th, 14th, 15th, or whenever time happens, because time is an illusion. It is going to be the 13th, 14th, 15th. I did it.
I'm not going to be in town.
Ah, come on! Is that when you're in California?
Yeah.
You're the worst.
I'm sorry.
You don't like me anymore.
Well, you just have to perform more.
True.
Just for us.
I have shows actually in May and June coming up. And
there you go.
I know. I'm doing more.
All right, one more plug for this weekend, and then we'll wrap up the show.
Ismail Lutfi at the Laughing Tap, Friday and Saturday, 3 shows. LaughingTap.com for tickets.
All right, we'll put that in today's show notes. Good show, everyone.
Yeah.
Very happy with. We're halfway through the week. Hopefully, the snow's not too bad tomorrow. Stick around for Luke and Brian on Dueling Tangents or the Chad Holmes Show. But this has been As Goes Wisconsin. Women like girls rule my world. I said they rule my world. At your age, mama, not your shoe size. Maybe we could do the twirl. You don't have to watch Dynasty to have
Yes.